Good morning, everyone, and welcome back out into the Australian bush. And it's not quite as cold today. Praise the Lord for that. Today, we're going to look at the last great miracle, except, of course, for the resurrection. We know that the resurrection was the greatest miracle of all. And can't you say, thank the good Lord for the resurrection? Well, we're going to look at the raising of Lazarus, but most of us know this miracle inside and out. But today, I want you to lay that knowledge aside, and let's look at this thing with new eyes. But now, let me just say this. We're going to go to John chapter 11, and we're going to use an awful lot of scripture. So I would suggest you put this on pause, go get your Bible, and follow with us as we go through John chapter 11. We will be using a lot of scripture. So do that. But first, let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your blessings. And Lord, I pray today you'll be glorified and help us to better understand the life and work of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go to John chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Now, a man was sick, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair, and it was her brother Lazarus who was sick. So the sister sent a message to him, that's to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Lazarus gets sick. The girls send a message to Jesus to intervene. The only problem is later in this chapter we see where Lazarus had died and Mary told Jesus that he had been dead for 4 days. You see, that would have been one day to carry the message to Jesus. The Bible also says he waits 2 days and then another day for Jesus to get back to where Lazarus was. So he must have died just at the time the message was sent. Can you imagine how the girls were thinking at this point? I bet they felt pretty hopeless with their brother dead and gone. Oh, and we can also see in the text that Jesus loved this family dearly. But you know what? Jesus loves us. He loves you just as much as he loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Well, let's go on to verse number 4. When Jesus heard about the sickness of Lazarus, when Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness will not end in death, but is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now think about it. Lazarus' sickness was for the glory of God. We also heard this recently when there was a man who was sick. I mean, he was blind from birth. And Jesus said of that man that his sickness or his blindness was for the glory of God. Folks, we need to think about that because I believe sometimes God organizes very, very difficult things for his glory. So the next time that we go through a deep, dark valley or some strong trouble, let's make sure we keep in mind that God organizes things in our life for our good and for his glory. Let's read verses 5 and 6. Now Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Hang on a minute. We know that Jesus loved this family, so why did he wait 2 more days before he responded to Lazarus' sickness? Well, I believe he was setting up a situation that is totally impossible. So let's continue. Verses 7 through 10. Then after that, he said to the disciples, let's go to Judea again. And Rabbi, the disciples told him, just now the Jews tried to stone you, and you're going there again? Aren't there 12 hours in a day? Jesus answered, and if anyone walks during the day, he doesn't stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks during the night, he does stumble because he is the light, because the light is not in him. Jesus knows that the Jews want to kill him, but he's willing to take that risk. But there's something else. You see, Jesus responded with a little bit of a cryptic message. Let's look at that again in verse 9. Aren't there 12 hours in a day? Jesus answered, if anyone walks during the day, he doesn't stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks during the night, he does stumble because the light is not in him. What does he mean? Well, there was a lot of opinions I found, but I'm going to share with you the best that I can get. I believe when we walk in the light, we are walking in the center of God's perfect will. And at that time in our lives, we are indestructible. Jesus was walking in the center of God's will, and he knew that he was not going to die until the proper time. But if you're walking in the darkness or the night, you're walking outside of God's will, and Jesus said, you'll stumble. A lot of times, we as Christians are not in God's will. And when we're like that, God will do his best to bring us back to his will. And keep this in mind, sometimes it's not that much fun what God puts us through to bring us back. So how do we respond to this message? Well, make sure that you're in the center of God's will for you. Spend enough time with God and his son, Jesus, to know what they want for you, and then do it. Now let's get back to Lazarus. Verses 11 through 16. He said this and he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm on my way to wake him up. Then the disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll get well. Jesus, however, was speaking about his death, but they thought he was speaking about natural sleep. So then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And I'm glad for you that I wasn't there so that you may believe, but let's go to him. Then Thomas, called Twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go too so that we may die with him. So Lazarus is dead. We're straight on that. But then Jesus says, I'm glad for you that I wasn't there to heal him so that you will believe. You see, this whole thing is set up to be a lesson for the disciples. Now, let me ask you, are you a disciple? And if so, this is for you. And then Thomas says, let's go and die with him. Well, I've often thought, well, let's go and die with Lazarus, but that doesn't make sense. The disciples knew the Jews were wanting to kill Jesus, and the disciples were willing to go and die with Jesus. That's a disciple, because they're willing to risk it all to follow Jesus. How about you? Let's go on to Bethany, verses 17 through 20. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, less than 2 miles away. You can make that transition. Many of the Jews come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. And as soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary remained seated in the house. All pretty normal things here. But then Martha reveals her thoughts in verses 21 and 22. Verse 21. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Yet even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. So we have an accusation. If you had been here, pretty normal after you've lost a real close loved one. But then it was followed by a confession of belief. God will give you anything that you ask for. Well, most of the time, you and I, we get stuck in the accusation. Why did you allow this to happen to me, Lord? You ever been there? Perhaps you're there now. We need to move on to the confession of faith. Lord, I will trust you, whatever. Verse 23 and 24. Your brother will rise again, Jesus told her. Martha said to him, I know he'll rise again at the resurrection at the last day. Martha knows about the resurrection and she believes that it's coming. But Jesus says something that's totally new. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. Notice the first two words. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Wow, that's big. I am. I am the resurrection. I am. Aren't you glad that he is? If you believe in Jesus, you will live forever. Do you believe? Well, if so, you and I'll talk about this in about 10,000 years or so. Well, let's go on. Verses 28 through 32. Having said this, she went back and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here, and he's calling for you. As soon as Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw that Mary got up quickly and went out. They followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to cry there. And that's what you would expect. As soon as Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and told him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Mary arrives, and it's the same comment that Martha said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I guess you would expect that from the girls, because in those days, Lazarus would have been the sole breadwinner for the family. You see, these ladies were in trouble, and they knew it. Keep in mind, their situation was desperate. Verse 33, when Jesus saw her crying and the Jews who had come with her crying, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. Now, let's stop just a moment. If you have some of the newer translations, you will see that Jesus did something here that may trouble you. In some of the translations, it says he was troubled, and the newer one says he was angry. Jesus was angry. Why was he angry? Well, I think he was angry at the enemy for destroying his friends and hurting them, and the enemy for destroying the whole world. Now watch, verses 34 and 35. Where have you put him, he asked. Lord, they told him, come and see. And Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? You see, he knew what he was going to do with Lazarus. But you see, he was brokenhearted for the sorrow for his close friends. You see, they really meant something to him. But listen, you and I mean just as much to him. If you don't believe that, look at the cross. Do you know him? Do you know him personally? Verse 36 and 37. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, couldn't he who opened the blind man's eyes also have kept this man from dying? You see, the crowd start questioning the Lord's motives, and this whole situation is now set up for something amazing. verse 38 and 39. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone was laying against it. "Remove the stone," Jesus said. Martha, the dead man's sister, told him, "Lord, there is already a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." You see, Lazarus had died, and he had been dead long enough for decomposition to set in. You see, in ancient Palestine, it was warm, and they didn't have the medical technology that we have today. So this situation, not only is he dead, but he's already beginning to decompose. That is pretty much gone. Verse 40, Jesus said to her, "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Listen, Martha, if you believe, you're going to see something amazing. Verses 41 through 44. So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd standing here, I said this so that they may believe you sent me." That was his purpose. Verse 43, after he said this, he shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead came out, bound hand and foot with linen strips and with his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unwrap him and let him go." Lazarus, come out. Resurrection power at work. One commentator said that if Jesus hadn't have said Lazarus, then there would have been a bunch of dead people come forth right then. But he said Lazarus. Lazarus came out of the tomb. Now, I want you to notice something. Lazarus was bound hand and foot. The ancient Jews bound a body so tightly, there is no way he could have possibly walked out of that tomb. Another impossible situation, or at least humanly speaking. Well, but notice the Bible didn't say he walked out. It says he came out. What happened? Not only did Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, but by his supernatural power, he moved him to the mouth of the cave supernaturally. How? I don't know. But somehow, God moved him to the mouth of the cave. Then Jesus says, "Loose him and let him go," so he can walk on his own. You see, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and he had it all worked out. Jesus turned a totally impossible situation into an amazing miracle, and God gets the glory. So what happens to the people? Verse 45, therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he did believed in him. Jesus' whole purpose is that people would see and believe. Now that you've seen what Jesus has done in the past, are you ready for what he's going to do now and in the future? Jesus raised the dead then, and he will raise the dead again in the future. Are you ready for him? You need to be ready, because that day, we believe the rapture will be first and then the general resurrection later. Jesus is going to come again, and we're going to be out of here. Are you ready? If not, please get ready. Please get ready. Please prepare. If you're not ready, please see me. I'd like to show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. You see, Jesus will come again, and as the angel said, just as he said. In just a few moments, we're going to be playing a song that simply talks about Jesus. You see, When we're reading all the things that Jesus did, we can become so fascinated with him. But we need to understand, he is Messiah. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. And we need to commit to him and become his disciple. Have you done that? Lord, thank you for this wonderful story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Lord, use this for your glory. Challenge your people deeply. Show us that we need to fully commit to being a disciple of yours so you can use us. Help us to be found in the middle of your will rather than wandering out in the darkness chasing our own dreams. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.